Good to see you guys, as always. good to see you. So, you know, this is our last week in the book of Philippians. So we've taken our summer study into our fall, and it is definitely fall, right? Beautiful days over these last few days, cool, crisp air, loving what's going on, but we've been doing that. This is also the last day of our 28 days of prayer, so we have been in our church praying and seeking God and asking God for Him to move. And so it's been really cool because the last few weeks have just lined up well, and we knew they would, and that's why we kind of timing-wise, but it's been great, right? It's been great as we've been seeking God all for Jesus, all for Jesus. That's what we want our lives to be. That's what we want our church to be, all for Jesus. And everything that we do and everything that we say and everything that we are, and you know, that's Philippians. Philippians has been just a great book where we've just gone over, you know, different themes, and especially in the last few weeks, about joy and contentment, about, you know, seeking God in everything, about even being a citizen, a good citizen, first that we're a citizen of heaven, right, on earth, and that we're living that out every day in everything that we do. Not capturing our past and not letting that identify us, but being identified in Christ and in all we are. And so it's been a great theme. It's been a great time. I remember, you know, and really it comes about really about focus, right? About keeping our eyes on Jesus, as it says in Hebrews 12, right? The author and the finisher of our faith. You know, we focus not on our problems because we have a God bigger than our problems. We focus not on our abilities because we have a God bigger than our abilities, right? That can use us even no matter who we are. So I'm going to stand. Don't worry. It's all right. Right? But, you know, we did a series in the book of Corinthians a while ago. And this used to be a whole pot, and I broke it as an illustration because Paul calls us clay pots. That's what we are. And yet we're called to be reflectors of Jesus. Well, how is this going to reflect anything? Right? Well, by the power of God in us and through us. And so as we live our lives for Christ, even in our brokenness, even in our inabilities, God shines through us. And then you know what happens? When we see God moving us through our efforts, you know, we partner with God, we are all for Jesus and everything we do, and then God shows up, right? And then who gets the credit then? Well, it's not me. I'm broken. It's not me. I'm a bad reflector of the light. God gets the credit, and God gets the glory. And that's good stuff. Right, so we've been talking about that all for Jesus, all throughout the book of Philippians, and it's been a good ride. I pray that you would continue, go back and read it. Many of you, I know this. Many of you, Philippians is your favorite book, and it's a good pick. It's a good pick. So we end this week though by following the book. So what I do mainly is preach through Scripture. That's what I do. I allow Scripture to dictate where we go and what we say, and that's why I love preaching through books of the Bible. And so, you know, Paul ends, if you remember last week, if you were here, there was a connection about money, because the occasion even for Paul writing this letter is that the Philippians once again had helped him out financially and had been there and supported him. So, get this, all for Jesus, right? And everything we do, even with their money, they were all for Jesus. Even with their provision and with what they had, everything. You know, so the word all means all for Jesus and everything that we do. And so this morning, that's what Paul begins to talk about. He, you know, with that same emphasis of joy and contentment and being all in for Christ, he talks about these people from Philippi who were godly not only with their lives but with their resources for the kingdom of God. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to open up to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. And, we're going to talk about money because that's what God talks about. And the rewards and the principles of giving, he kind of lays out. We can learn from this church at Philippi about what our resources do when we use them for the kingdom of God. Again, people who were willing to use all their resources for God. I think I told you a few weeks ago or when we were in Philippians chapter 3. I love old book by Pat Morley now, The Man in the Mirror, and had done it a lot, several times with men's groups back in the day because it's from the early 90s probably, in mid-90s, early 2000s we did that. But Patrick Morley said, you can tell people's commitment by looking at their, what's important to them by looking at their date book and their checkbook, where you spend your time and where you spend your money. Because we understand, right? I mean, we're not naive, that there's a lot of lip service in the Church of Jesus Christ. Let me say too much. I don't know about a lot, but too much. I mean, hopefully not in our church, but even in our church, there's probably a little bit too much at times lip service and not enough real service, real living out our relationship with Jesus Christ. And so that's why I find this really cool in the study of all for Jesus in the book of Philippians that he ends it, again, with a thank you, and an encouragement to the church at Philippi for their engagement with him in the gospel of Jesus Christ primarily through giving and by holding that up. And like I said, we get to see some principles of giving through this example that he does. All right, so let's dive in. First, giving is a means of fellowship and furtherance of God's kingdom. That's what he talks about. Look at verse 14. He says, "Nevertheless, you have done well," right? Because he where do we end, right? We ended last week with, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." What does that mean? I can live with much and I can live with little. Paul's talking about the fact that he has suffered greatly for the gospel financially. And he's lived in times of prosperity and he's lived in times where they've been so lean, they don't know where their next meal is coming from. He says, "But I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can be content even in that." He said, "But nevertheless," verse 14, "you have done well to share with me in my affliction. You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs." Even once. So again, giving is a means of fellowship and furtherance for the gospel. Notice that the people share with Paul in his affliction, and in this, it's mostly monetary. Right? Because Paul is traveling. He's a tent maker. He has to make his living. But the more he does, the less he has chance to interact with people, in that broader sense. But even in that, it doesn't mean you're going to walk into a neighborhood and be like, "All right, come on, let me make you something and I'll be good." Doesn't work that way. And so the people of God in Philippi have shared with him many times, on many occasions, this financial gift. Matter of fact, you remember, we talked about this in the beginning of the book, Paul's affection for the Philippians was because of their partnership with him. That there was a real partnership in the gospel of Jesus Christ with this church in Philippi and all that they did. And again, that's been a pattern for them. They've shown their love for Paul, not only by sending people to minister to his needs. You remember Epaphroditus, that's why he's there. They're willing to support Epaphroditus to help him with his needs, but then they also send generous giving and money for him. Now get this, all right? Because I said, giving is a means of fellowship and a furtherance of God's kingdom. God doesn't need your money. It's not like God's standing on a corner with a handout sweating it. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, it says, and that doesn't mean a whole lot to us. But if you're a cattle farmer, that means a whole lot to them because they understand that you're prosperous, right? They understand you're prosperous. Listen, God doesn't need your money, but you are a conduit to further his kingdom. And what I'm going to tell you is this, and I believe this, God has chosen to use the church to be hands and feet for Christ, so much so that if it doesn't happen, it won't be there. Because God will say, okay, fine. If you're not going to be a part of it, then I'll let you suffer, if you will, in that means. And so we get to partner with God, which is amazing to me because God doesn't need me, right? He could make the rocks cry out. He could make the trees speak out if that's what he wanted to do. He could make the trees walk across. We have all these, all these books of fantasy. He could make the heavens open up. He has visited our world through angels. But he doesn't need that right now because he has the church. He has the church. We are his hands and feet. We are his mouthpiece to the world. All right. So it's a means of fellowship and furtherance of God's kingdom. Not only that, but it's a means of eternal investment for us. Look at what it says. Again, back in 14, it says, you've done well to share with me in my affliction. You yourselves know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving except for you. Even in Thessalonica, he says, you gave a gift more than once. Then he says this in verse 17, not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. Paul's already said, I can do it if you don't give. Because I've learned to be content in every situation because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right, if I'm here and I need to live on what I got and all I got is what I got, I can do that because God is with me and he's going to strengthen me. And Paul has shown that over and over again, that he's willing to do whatever God calls him to do, going wherever God calls him to go, by whatever means God calls him to do it in, with whatever God calls him to have. And if he has, and if he doesn't, he doesn't. He's still going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's not going to shrink away from that because of a lack, because his focus is not on him, but it's on God. It's on God, right? He didn't need the gift. He says, not that I'm looking for the gift myself. He said, but you giving it is a profit which increases to your account. It's a profit that increases for you. So understand this, right? When you give to the church or when you give to others, you don't give to the church. You give to God. You give to God. It's given to the physical, but it reaps spiritual benefits. Not only for the kingdom of God outwardly, but for you inwardly. Kind of cool, huh? Kind of cool to know that God uses what we give. Again, it pays dividends not only in the kingdom outwardly out there, but in our hearts and in our lives and in our future kingdom with God and all that we have. Christmas is coming. Sorry. I know it's September. Is it the 25th today? Ooh, 3 months. I'm sorry. I know some of you are frustrated. And listen, I'm a not till after Thanksgiving guy. Right? But Christmas is coming. And at Christmas time, we teach our kids and we'll tell our kids it's better to give than what? Than to receive. Why? Because we're so stinking focused on the gifts. Right? And maybe we've kind of perpetuated that a little bit in making Christmas about the gifts. Right? And so we try to teach it's better to give than to receive. And we all believe that to a point, and usually the point is Christmas. Because I give to see what I can get. Oftentimes we give based on what somebody else gave us. I know people all over the place, probably in this church, but I know several people outside who have talked about how they have to get a certain amount or a certain thing, or they have to do something because somebody did that for them. And so it doesn't become about it's better to give than to receive. It becomes about really tit for tat. You know, it becomes about, you know, I'll do what you did for me. Like, they gave you a gift, so you should give them a gift. As a matter of fact, sometimes, if we're honest, we give gifts and then we're offended when we don't get something back from somebody. If we're honest. Right? Too many people give based on what they get in return or even what they might get up front. We got this famous, not famous, but this infamous kind of saying now, not infamous even, you know, but pay it forward. Pay it forward. Pay it forward. And really, see, that's really this concept of, you know, if you do something good, you know, karma will bring something good back to you in return. Right? Like, you know, it's just like you're just paying it forward, waiting for the time that someone's going to take care of you. Well, ultimately, pay it forward is a God concept. Because what you're paying forward is into the kingdom of God. Not what you're going to receive here on earth, but what you receive in heaven from his glory. Like, I don't pay hoping that I'm going to get an investment, you know, better off here. I don't pay for the next guy hoping that someone's going to pay for me. And oftentimes we pay it forward by, you know, it's, you know, again, kind of famous if you watch certain things, right? You know, you get into a line. Maybe some of us have had this happen to you. Somebody in front of you paid for your coffee. And so what do? You pay for the coffee behind you. And then somebody eventually says, thank you. I appreciate it. Awesome. Thanks. Right? I mean, listen, sometimes we do it out of the goodness of our heart, but sometimes we do it because our meal was paid for in front and, like, I can't, like, leave it hanging. Can't leave it hanging. I've heard people say, you know, I don't give much to the church because I don't get much from the church. I don't give much because I don't get much. Or we only give to special needs, you know. When we really feel the need is that great, you know, then we rip open our wallet and we give something. we put it forward. Then they'll give. But again, see, understand something. We don't give for services rendered. When I was a young Christian, I used to, you know, I kind of began to catch this concept of tithing and giving to the church, and we were married at the time, and I would be like, well, if I made church on Sunday, I'd give. You know, we determined an amount we would give every week, but it was only on the days that I went to church that I gave. You know, and then if I missed it, it was kind of like a savings plan for me. You know, like, woo, I get a little extra money this week, you know, because I didn't have to give it to the church. And then God confronted me with his word, by the way, to say, I'm not giving to the church. I'm giving through the church, all right, for the kingdom of God, because, you know, I'm putting my first fruits in my fellowship, which is where I'm supposed to be giving first. But I'm not giving to the church, I'm giving to God. And everything that I do, it's for him. We give to God. Which makes that, then, if I'm giving it to God, then my giving is a means of worship to my God. My giving, I have a slide for that up there. My giving is a means for worship. I want you to think about that. I want you to take it. Now, some of you who are newer to our church have, if you've been in a church, some of you haven't been in a church, and that's fine, but if you've been in a church, you know, you might have come from a place that passed a plate. And there's nothing wrong with that. Keep that up there for a little bit, Dave. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong intrinsically with passing a plate. As a matter of fact, it can be good because it can be kind of a time where you physically worship God by putting into a plate and hand it off. But all too often, if we're honest, it becomes about, I got to put something in a plate because a plate's being passed. And what we do is we give God little bits. They didn't stop passing a plate when I came, long before I came. They had boxes on a wall. Matter of fact, the church I came from in Minnesota, we didn't pass a plate. We had a box in the back. And in my church in Clinton Corners, we stopped passing a plate and went to boxes. And I've always said, I don't want someone to dishonor God by pulling out their wallet because something is passing by and just taking out a five and thinking that, okay, I've appeased my duty somehow. I don't need the 65 extra dollars that we'll get as a church for that. And you guys nail it, right? I mean, our church rocks. We are a healthy church. We are not financially in trouble in any sense of the imagination at all. We're not at all. We've given to budget every year over the last 3 or 4 years through COVID. You guys are all, yeah, amen, right? To the glory of God. To the glory of God. But I'll tell you, though, one of the things that I do think that we have to, we give, Danielle and I give, our bank does bank pay, right? So we do bank pay, and we give, online. And sometimes we can then kind of, that just becomes an automatic as opposed to a means for worship. But when I give to God, if I'm giving not to the church and I'm not giving to needs and I'm not giving, but I'm giving to God, then it becomes a means for worship in my life. And I need to look at it that way, right? When I sacrifice and give of my resources, my finances, it goes before the throne of God himself. Again, you're giving to a church, you're giving to maybe another ministry, maybe you're giving to a missionary overseas, maybe you're giving to a different ministry around, but ultimately you're giving it to God. Ultimately you're giving it to God. Look at what it says in verse 18. He says, "But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent." And then look at the words he uses. "A fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." It's interesting. Some of that same kind of language is used in Ephesians chapter 5. Listen to what it says in Ephesians chapter 5. He says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, a fragrant aroma." So get this, right? That's the same language that Paul's using, right? The same language of Christ's sacrifice for us, he uses in our giving to God when we sacrificially give unto the Lord. Same kind of terms. Why? Because it's a sacrifice. That's why, again, you pulling out $5 out of your wallet is not a sacrifice, most likely. And it's not an offering. It's just a religious thing, because something's being passed before us. I know churches that give and everybody has to put their hand in the plate. You might not give anything, but like you go through the motions. And if that's not for optics, I don't know what that's for. Right? Just for optics. Just for optics. Well, we'll just leave it there, right? Just like in Ephesians, understand this, and Paul talks about this in Ephesians. Everything that's real happens in the heavenly places. Everything. I mean, real life is there. And the same is true with giving. It's an eternal act. It's an eternal act to God. When you write that check, or when you set up that bill pay, or when you give cash to anything of God's purposes, that's an eternal act of worship unto God. For God to use for the glory of the kingdom of God. How cool is that? See, we think too small. We think too small. And understand this, God is pleased by your giving. God is pleased by what you do in Christ before him, even with your resources. And maybe I should say, not especially, but well, right on, but it's on equal levels. It's on equal levels. All right. All right, so not only is giving a means of fellowship and a furtherance of the kingdom, not only is it a means of eternal investment, not only is it a means of worship, but it's a means of release of God's provision. Of God's provision. Look at what he says again back in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. He says, "And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." My God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And I want you to notice the context. Some have said, and I would agree with this, that verse 19 implies a sacrifice, a sacrificial giving. In other words, not something that was just left over, not something that I had laying around, but something that was extra. Matter of fact, John Piper has said this, that the 10% tithe is the middle class American way to rob God. Because it's not a sacrifice. Not a sacrifice. So let's break this down. Right? I love what it says. It's an amazing promise in verse 19. So he says this, right? Verse 19. He says, "And my God." Now I love that. My God. Just if you stop there for a second, right? It's intensely personal. My God. I love what Ray Pritchard says. He says this. He says, when he says, "my God," he makes it exceedingly personal. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is my God. The God who raised up Moses is my God. The God who led Joshua around the walls of Jericho is my God. The God who enabled David to defeat Goliath is my God. The God of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and all the prophets is my God. The God of the virgin birth is my God. The God who raised Jesus from the dead is my God. The God of the apostles is my God. He says, in short, when Paul says my God, he wants us to remember that the same God who worked all the mighty miracles in the Bible is the same God who makes this amazing promise. My God. My God. That's a big God. That's the God of the universe. That's the God who spoke creation into being. What does he say? What will my God do? He will supply all of our needs. He will supply all of our needs. Right? God said, God is faithful to do that. And I mean, you can just look throughout Scripture. Go to Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. You know, look at the sparrows. Do they worry about what they're going to eat? And yet God feeds them. Look at the lilies of the field. He clothes them. Why are we worried about clothing and food and housing? God's loves us more than he loves the sparrow. God's going to take care of us in all of that. And yet, what we do is we hold back. What we do is we don't trust. But look at God's promise, even in a challenge. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. It says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you?" He says, "In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you." And then he says this is the promise. "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows." Now, it's really cool because even in what Paul talks about in this, you notice that he doesn't talk about God supplying their needs until he talks about the offering that they've made. See, too often what we say is, when I have enough, then I'll give. But God's principle of giving is giving first fruits. God's principle of giving is giving the first amounts, not the remaining amounts. And here's the reality of that. If you give from the first, you will always have enough to give. Now, please let me say this, and if you have a question about this, we can go back in scripture on this, and I can show it to you personally. God doesn't expect you to starve your family. He might expect you to forego the extra night out to eat. Okay? Right? But he's not expecting you to starve your family. Like, if you don't have enough money literally to put food on the table, not because you're wasting it, okay? Not because you're overextending yourself and using your credit card to buy everything and now you have tons of, you know, all right? But he doesn't expect you to starve your family. You feed your family first. Okay? You feed your family. But oftentimes, the reality of why we don't give it, even if it's because our bills are too high, are not about our family and about the food that we might not have today. Right? It's about the fact that we've either overextended ourselves or we have all these bills or we want to do all these things. And even more so, it's about the fact that when the plate is passed, for us that's, you know, not true, but, you know, symbolically, I reach into my pocket and I see what I got. I see what I got. For me, right now, that would probably mean about $8, because that's about what's in my wallet. But it's not because that's what I have is only $8. Not in any sense of the imagination. Matter of fact, Danielle and I marvel at what I pay taxes on. Because I want to complain about that. And yet, that is God's ample supply of his just pouring out his blessings of what he gives to his glory. Right? So faith is not God, you supply, I'll give. Faith is, I'll give, you supply. I'll do what you command me to do, Lord, in faith and trust that you're going to do what you said you will do. And I'm going to tell you, God is better at his word than we are. He just is. He just is. God is better at his word than we are. For sure. God will take, he said, God's going to take care of it all, right? And so we do what we do for God. We give everything unto him. If you looked at my devotion, my last devotion you're going to get today was from Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, in view of God's mercies, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual service, or as I said, your acceptable service of worship. It's acceptable, right? Because he's already given to us. The reality is that I have anything, it's because he's given. Well, no, you didn't. I worked really hard for that. Well, listen, you have strength in your body to work only because God has given you grace to have strength in your body. You have skill in your hands only because God has given you grace to have skill in your hands. You have a mind that thinks the way it does only because you have the grace of God doing that. And listen, there's plenty of us, and eventually it will be all of us, who can testify to the fact that if I'm trusting in my body, it will fail. And every single one of us will. I don't care how good you are, how smart you are, how talented you are, it will give up and it will give in. It's all by his grace. I have what I have because of God. Right? Again, not let me get ahead and I'll give. It is God, I'll give you my first fruits. If you give first, you'll always have enough to give. And then that puts you in a place sometimes to truly trust in God for your supply. And guess what? Write this verse down. Write this verse down. put it in your Bible, mark it up. You know, it's okay to write in your Bible. God's okay with that. Promise, he's okay with that. Circle it. And God will supply all my needs. Right? Now get this. It comes with after this fragrant aroma and this offering. Praise God. But God will supply. And by the way, how will he supply that? He will supply according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now, I need you to notice that this is very specific. It's not out of his riches. It is according to. See, God gives us proportionally like God asks us to give him back proportionally. God's our example, right? He doesn't give out of. He doesn't give his trinkets. He doesn't give what's leftovers. He gives what he gives is commensurate with what he has. And that's how giving should be. As a matter of fact, I the 10%. So if you don't know what tithing is simply means 10%. Old Testament, that was the standard, is that you would give 10% of all your resources, your first fruits, unto God. I like the 10% because it's in accordance with, right? So it's proportional. I'm not giving out about what's left over, but I think that's a place to start. Honestly, it's not enough. I agree with John Piper sometimes. You know, you giving 10% is not a sacrificial offering unto God. It's not. That's between you and God. By the way, I don't know what any of you give. Unless you've shared that with me, I never see a giving record at all in anybody. Obviously, there are people in our church who have to, right? Because they get your checks and they give you a receipt at the end of the year because we have to by law. But I don't know. The leadership doesn't know. The elders don't know. Right? But God gives according to what he's given. Praise God. Praise God that he doesn't give us his leftovers. Matter of fact, you know what God gave? Romans 8:32. I love this. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all. And then I love what it says. How will he not also freely give us all things? He hasn't held back his best. I mean, his very best. He's given for us. His very best. Right? And listen, it's not always, this is not a health, wealth, and gospel message. This is not, if you give to God, he will just pour out so much so that you can buy the caddy and you can buy the house on the lake or the house on the river or the extra house on the lake. But if you do, you can lend it to me. Because I don't have a house on the lake, just saying. Use it for God's kingdom. Sorry, that was selfish. Cancel that. Can we cut that out of the video? All right. It's in the video forever. All right. So, right, he gives in abundance. Matter of fact, you know what the fruit of the Spirit is, right? Galatians chapter 5. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's what's poured out into your heart, into your life, as you give it all unto Jesus. All for Jesus. Right? So here's the principle. If you give, God will give back in abundance to you. Now, I'm going to tell you, I believe he's also talking financially. And again, I'm not talking health, wealth, and gospel. I'm not talking about, listen, you give today. I've always wanted to pass a plate and then get it and say, that's not enough, and then pass it again, and that's not enough. I've heard that done. Come on, people. Got to give more. You know, right? Well, no, this is not an investment strategy, all right? But I do believe God's word says that if you give, he will give you back. But get this. This is the beautiful principle of God's kingdom. He doesn't give you, you give him something, then he gives you something back so that you can just have. He gives you something so that then he gives you back something so that you'll have something to give. And as more you give, the more he gives back. So that the more you have, the more you can give. As a matter of fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 10 and 11. And I love this in the NIV. So I need this on the screen here. There you go. Listen to what it says. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, right? So he supplies in the beginning. We know that, right? Will also supply and increase your store of seed, and he will enlarge your harvest of righteousness. Now, keep it right there. Praise God. Can I get an amen? Right? We like that verse. See, if I give to God, he'll give back to me, and he'll increase my harvest of righteousness. But what is he increasing? My harvest? No, my harvest of righteousness, because the next verse says this. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And then he says, and through us, your generosity will result in what? Thanksgiving to God. It will result in praise to God. Why? Because it is a fragrant aroma before the throne of grace. It is a sacrifice unto God. How cool is that? You know what God says here? He says, I'm using you as my instrument of blessing. God doesn't need you. We realize that, right? God doesn't need Patrick. God doesn't need fill in the blank. He doesn't need us. I mean, he could do it all on his own. He's chosen, though, to allow us to partner with him for his glory and for his kingdom to abound, for his kingdom to grow. Crazy. Because he's chosen unfaithful, unfocused people. And he's chosen even that if we will not be faithful and we are unfocused, that the kingdom doesn't necessarily spread like it should. Because God in his sovereignty has chosen to use us in his kingdom for that. Again, so that's faith, right? So this is where the rubber meets the road. And that's why Patrick Morley says, you can tell what's important to you. Check your date book and your checkbook. I would tell you, it also depends what you trust in. Because if you're trusting in your checkbook to take care of you, if you're trusting in your retirement account to take care of you, if you have to retire tomorrow, how has the last few weeks and months been for you? If you don't know what I'm talking about, that's okay. If you do, it's because you know that the stock market has plummeted. I mean, I think I've lost like 20% of my retirement. Now, thank God I'll be in it for the long haul. And thank God the history is that it will come back. But I'm not trusting that it's going to come back. Because when I'm ready to retire, I'm pretty sure it's going to tank again. So what do I have left to trust in? If I can't trust in the stock market being stable, well, I think you've put your trust in the wrong place, right? You've put your trust in the wrong place. See, because there is one stable, and his name is Jesus. You know what? This message isn't necessarily even a message on giving. It's a message of being all in for Jesus. In every area of your life. It's a message of laying yourself out on the altar of sacrifice to God and say, God, whatever you want. That means that nest egg I've built, Lord, if you want me to use it for your purpose and your kingdom purposes, I'll do that because I trust that you'll take care of me. Lord, if you want me to expend money, not just for my family, right? Because we're really family-oriented, so we'll take care of us and our kids and our parents. Brothers and sisters really get kind of sketchy, right? Really get sketchy. We'll take care of family. God might have given you the great stock market that he's given you over the last 50 years. Which even when it's dipped has come right back, not so that you can retire and do nothing, but so that the, now listen, he's going to supply all your needs. You're going to be taken care of. You're going to have food in your belly. You're going to have a house over your head. God's promised it, but he's promised to supply our needs, not our excesses or our wants. And he's going to take care of that. And then you're going to be building investment in the kingdom of God to his glory and to his praise and to his grace. How cool is that? We get to partner, but we only partner when we're all in. That's why the way to reach our mission, right, to exalt Christ and to point others to him, the only way to do that is to be a Holy Spirit-empowered movement of God on mission to multiply his kingdom. That means with everything I have, to his glory. Let me pray. Father God, I love you. I thank you so much for your ample supply. And I'm not just talking about money. You have given us so much. As a matter of fact, Lord, you have given us life in Jesus Christ. You have sacrificed literally your best. Literally your best you have given to us in Christ Jesus. Lord, may we not hold anything back from you. You didn't hold anything back for us. May we not hold anything back, but may we give it freely. May we give it completely. May we give it totally unto you for your kingdom and for your purposes. Father, not in a religious way. Lord, it's not even about like he who gives the most is really the best. Matter of fact, it's not even about equal gift. It's about equal sacrifice. Because the Old Testament principle was the tithe, but the New Testament principle is sacrifice. That it's all yours. And that we just follow you to use it for the kingdom of God. To your glory. To your grace. Lord, may we be all in. May we truly come to the altar of sacrifice and not hold anything back. Lord, to switch illustrations, Lord, let us not dip our toe in the river of life. Let us not kind of wade in it, but let us dive full in. That it might be all to your glory. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we might walk in you in every area of our life, including with our money. Because it's a fragrant aroma, a sacrifice unto you. God, I love you. And I thank you in Jesus' name.